Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us on this, the Ash Wednesday, from the Old Testament lesson that you heard before from the second chapter of Joel, where again we hear the opening words to that passage. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. This is God's word. The first part of the book of Joel tells a grim tale that reads a lot like a horror movie. The prophet describes an infestation of locusts. Can you imagine a swarm of locusts descending upon your home, your region? Now, there are portions of Africa where they don't have to imagine it's happening right now in Kenya. A biologist for Penn State University working with the United Nations says that the damage caused by the insects there could be the worst in 70 years as they relentlessly eat their way through the crops. Now, in his prophecy, Joel is talking about a literal swarm of locusts, but he also uses the swarm as a metaphor for an invading army. And Israel knew all about invading armies swooping in from the north. The Assyrians and the Babylonians had historically taken turns devastating them as agents of God's judgment. But when we see Joel in chapter 2, the temple has been rebuilt. People have come home after exile. He's standing there in Jerusalem, and this should be a happy ending. Yet there's something still wrong. Even after the destruction, after the exiles, after coming home, after things being rebuilt, the world is still filled with war and famine and devastation. Why? Have you ever felt like Joel? You ever look around and think, what is going on? Why is the world and my life such a mess? There's a word for this kind of thinking. It's called longing. We ask these kind of questions because deep down inside we sense and perceive that it should not be this way. We long for something more, something better. We long for a perfect home. What if you're not the only one? Hear verse 12 again. God says, return to me. Do you sense the longing in God's voice? Down in verse 13, God says, return because I am compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, relenting from judgment and punishment. Interesting word, relenting. It means to change one's mind, or to not do what you were going to do originally. Here's an incredibly important truth about the heart of God. God does not want to punish people. God does not find pleasure in people's pain and suffering. God is not a violent judge who is just waiting for people to mess up so that he can crack down. God is a loving parent whose heart breaks when his children turn away and hurt each other. And in response, he cries out, "Return to me." What does it take to return to God? Well, we heard what it said in Joel. Return to me with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Now that phrase to me is striking. Rend your heart and not your garments. God is actually saying, skip the outward signs. Don't bother tearing your clothing if you haven't torn open your heart to me. Returning to God begins with the inner reality of being broken, admitting wrong, being utterly humbled by the enormity of my sin problem and the realization that I can't fix it. I cannot make the changes needed to prevent the destruction of my soul, but I can return to the one who is able. God longs for me. God longs for you. God longs for his children to return to him in just this way, with hearts torn open, because it is then that he can pour his solution into us. Listen to God calling through the prophet Joel today. Return. Return to me. Some of us turn away out of shame, thinking God can't possibly love me. Some turn away out of pride and defiance, thinking, I don't need God. I'm good enough. Whatever the case, come back. Come home. God longs for relationship with you. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. And to prove it, he did relent. He did change his mind about punishing you for your disobedience and sin. And he transferred it to someone else. And this is what happened at the cross of Jesus. At the cross, in his suffering and death, Jesus assumed our debt. He paid for it all in a one-time only sacrifice of blood and brokenness, which completely wipes out the record of your sin. So to the person who thinks, I don't need God, I say, you couldn't produce a perfect record like Jesus did. Wake up. Return. And to the person who thinks, God can't possibly love me because I've been so bad, I say, if God didn't love you, he wouldn't have sent his own son to pay the ultimate price for you. Your sin is not bigger than Jesus' sacrifice. Wake up. Return. Come home. In a small town in Spain, a man had a bitter argument with his son named Francisco. And the next morning he discovered that his son's bed was empty. He had run away from home in the middle of the night. Overcome with remorse, the man realized that his son meant more to him than anything else. So he went to a well-known store in the center of town and he posted a sign that said, Francisco, come home. I love you. all is forgiven. Meet me here tomorrow morning. Love, Papa. The next morning, the man went down to the store and was stunned to discover that his son had returned, along with six other young men, each named Francisco. Each longing for reconciliation with their own fathers. This is the offer at the heart of Lent. This is the invitation that is at the heart of Christianity: return to the Lord your God. He longs for reconciliation with you, and he committed himself to you at Jesus' cross so that you might long for him. As you linger near the cross during this season, open your heart wide to the sacrifice of Jesus so that the entire direction of your life becomes a return. It's okay to feel like Joel. The world is not yet perfect. But you can be at home in the perfect love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you please pray with me? Loving Father, with your Son and Holy Spirit, we know that you are slow to anger, abounding in love. You've relented over disaster by placing the disaster on your Son. He bore the entire punishment for sin on the cross and gives us his perfect record. Now that counts for us, and we receive it by faith. Melt our hearts with this good news, that the entire direction of our lives may be a return to your embrace. We pray it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.